I was ordained just after the start of Billy Graham's mission to London in 1966, and often went up to the meetings with groups of people from the church. On one evening was the occasion when a young pop star made his first appearance as a Christian, Cliff Richard, and he sang a song to us. I'll tell you about the song at the end. If you hear someone say the name of a person you know, you think of that person. Their name calls them to mind, their appearance, their character, their relationship to you. Relation, friend, colleague, boss, employee, fellow church member, and so on. Their name stands for them. In Old Testament times, names had meanings. Footnotes in our Bibles often tell us this. For example, a footnote to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 17, tells us that the name Abraham means exalted father. God changed Abraham's name to Abraham, which another footnote tells us means father of many, which indeed Abraham became. As we heard in our Bible reading, when God called Moses to lead his people out of slavery in Egypt, Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'What is his name?' Then what shall I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." That is what you are to say to the Israelites. "I am has sent me to you." Shorter forms of this are YHWH, pronounced Yahweh or Jehovah. Jewish people later used the expression "the Lord" with "Lord" in capitals, so as to avoid saying Yahweh and possibly misusing God's name. His name was used just once a year by the high priest when giving the blessing on the Jewish Day of Atonement. This practice of putting "the Lord" instead of Yahweh has been followed in most English Bibles, including the New International Version, which we use here in All Saints. Mention of God's name brings to mind who he is and what he has done, particularly what he has done for you personally. And just so with God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus means God our Saviour. Hence the angel's words to Joseph when Mary was expecting her baby: "He will save his people from their sins." When we hear the name of Jesus, we think of who he is, what he did during his short time on earth, his crucifixion, his resurrection. Maybe we also think of how he is now in glory in heaven, as described in the book of Revelation. Now today we're thinking of the third commandment, which God gave to Moses on Mount Sinai, which is about his name. "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." And when Moses reminded the next generation of Israelites, 40 years later, of the Ten Commandments, before they crossed into the promised land of Canaan, as recorded in Deuteronomy chapter 5, the wording of the third commandment was exactly the same: "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who misuses his name." Suppose when someone was annoyed, they used your name as an expletive: Smith, Jones, or whatever your name is. What would you think? You would not be best pleased. I've had something similar happen to me. One day in the early 1970s, my children came home from school saying, "What's wrong with our surname?" I had no idea what they were talking about. The name Pratt probably originally meant somebody who lived by a meadow, Prattum in Latin. But in due course I learned there had been at that time a television series which featured a person named Pratt, with one T, who used to do stupid things. Pratt had become to mean a stupid fool. As a result, some people named Pratt, including my two sons, changed their name. Comparison of telephone directories some years later seemed to show that about 20% of Pratts had changed their name. Some of the rest of us took the view that in time the abusive word would drop out of our language. I think it's beginning to do so. I hope so. I still wince when I hear it used as an insult, even more when it's used against me personally, as it has been a couple of times. How much more is God offended when people thoughtlessly say, "Oh my God," or "Jesus," or "Christ," or "Good Lord," and a number of other words derived from those, "gosh," from God, "by golly," by God, "by Jove," Jehovah, "bloody," by Our Lady, "crikey," Christ. It might have seemed to some people that misusing God's name was much less important than having other gods, which was forbidden by the first commandment, or by making images of God, which was forbidden by the second commandment. So therefore, to emphasize the seriousness of the misuse of his name, God added a warning: "For the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Misuse of God's name will lead to punishment. As a young man, first in the Merchant Navy and then in the Royal Navy, I allowed my language to include words which did not enhance it. Deliberate choice at first led to automatic use, which I found myself unable to control. As the Apostle James writes in his letter in the New Testament, "The tongue corrupts the whole people. No man can tame the tongue." But what I could not do, God did when I turned to Christ and was born again. Those words just dropped from my speech immediately and forever. It's one of the clear signs that the Holy Spirit made in my life. Praise God, I had been restored, I had been forgiven. I realize it's not that simple for some people when they turn to Christ. For one person I knew, it was only when they had been delivered from an evil spirit in the name of Jesus that similar words dropped from their vocabulary. So if you are a Christian troubled by swearing, it could be that you too need the ministry of deliverance in the authority of the name of Jesus. If you think that might be so, please talk to me or to Andrew about it. Ask for help. They're probably not after the service, and possibly in other people's hearing, so as to maintain strict confidentiality. If we really know God, appreciate what he's done for us, we would not wish to use his name thoughtlessly. He created us. He supplies our needs day by day. He gave his son to die for us on the cross, bearing our sins so that we might be forgiven and born again to eternal life. How can we, if we are disciples of Jesus, use any expression which dishonors his name? He has the name above all names, as we've sung. King David wrote at both the beginning and end of Psalm 8, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The Apostle Peter said to the Jewish leaders about the name of Jesus when he was on trial before them, "There is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And the Apostle Paul wrote, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." It is indeed the name high over all, as one hymn writer put it. "How sweet the name of Jesus sounds," another hymn writer put it. And a third wrote, "At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow." There is no name which should be used more respectfully than God's name. Billy Graham was given to humour on occasion. He once said, "A Christian should so live that he would not be afraid to sell the family parrot to the local gossip." This week I was talking with somebody who on one occasion was invited with her husband to sit on the platform at Haringey as groups of church leaders were invited. And she told me how, sitting just a couple of seats away from Billy Graham, she was so impressed with his humility. To return to my theme, some of us has to live or work with unbelievers who not infrequently misuse God's name. That is a trial for us. It might be right to pick your moment to say something like, "I would be grateful if you did not use the name of Jesus like that. His name means a great deal to me." But expletives are not the only way of misusing God's name. Speaking about the Pharisees, the Lord Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." Likewise, the prophet Jeremiah said about his contemporaries, "You are always on their lips, but far from their hearts." And the Lord Jesus once said, "God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." As disciples of Jesus, we need to focus on the Lord when we come together to worship him, as we've done so today, and not use his name thoughtlessly. I find it helpful before I leave home to come to church to spend a moment drawing near to the Lord. It's good to ask Jesus to help me come rightly to a church service, not focused on what I can get out of it, but focused on what I can put into it. Our thoughts may wander at times in services, but as the Apostle Paul wrote in his second letter to the Corinthians, we need to take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. We need to return to focusing on the Lord. In our worship, we need to be singing to him. In our prayers, we need to be praying to him. Indeed, the Lord Jesus told his disciples to pray in his name. He did this three times on the evening before his crucifixion. He said, "I will do whatever you ask in my name. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." Then again, "The Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." And again, "I tell you the truth. My Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive, and your joy will be complete." To ask in Jesus' name means that we can ask the Father, because through Jesus' death upon the cross, Jesus has opened the way to us, his disciples, to approach the Father directly. It also means to ask for something which is in harmony with Jesus' wishes. We ought also to try to honour the Lord's name in our conversation, in our actions day by day. If we're known as Christians, people will be watching our words and our conduct. What we say and what we do will either honour the Lord or dishonour his name, especially when we're under pressure or things are not going right for us. There may be occasions when we need to call on the Lord by name. You will remember the blind beggar who was sitting by the roadside, who was told, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him, told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." When he came near, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Nearly 20 years ago, when I had a much better sense of balance than I do now, I explored various sloping cliff tops along the coast from Durlston westwards, looking for wildflowers. I just started to use 4-point crampons to help me not to slip. But they'd come without any instructions, and I'd put them on the wrong way, with the loose ends of the straps inwards. And on one occasion, I trod on a loose end and tripped up and went rolling uncontrollably down the slope. I could see I was going to hit my head on a rock. "Lord," I called out. I came to a sudden stop. I could not see why. My body had not come up against anything. I had just stopped. If I'd gone further, I would have rolled into a bramble thicket rather than over the top of the cliff. But I knew God had answered my prayer for help. Last April, after my back operation, I was in considerable pain at times. The hospital staff used to ask me and other patients on their rounds what level of pain on a scale of 1 to 10 I was experiencing. On 3 occasions when I was on my own, it got to 9. And on each occasion, I cried out to the Lord like the blind beggar, as well as ringing the bell to ask for morphine. The Lord answered directly, as well as through the hospital staff. So I encourage you to call on the name of the Lord when you're in danger, pain, or other similar needs. Oh yes, that song that Cliff Richard sang. There is no secret what God can do. What he's done for others, he can do for you. Let us have a few moments of silent reflection. Lord, help us, we pray, always to use your name aright. Help us, as disciples of Jesus, to honour you with our lips, in church and in the world, but not only with our lips, but in our lives, by walking before you in holiness and righteousness all our days, and to worship you in spirit and in truth, and to call upon your name when we are in trouble. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.